This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, in 2013, there were over 65,000 new cases of kidney cancer in the United States, with over 13,000 deaths reported from the disease. And the incidence seems to be on the rise. And here to tell us more about it and about a new surgical procedure to treat kidney cancer are Dr. Michael Dougherty. He's a urology resident at Upstate Medical University, and Dr. Gennady Broslowski. He's professor and chair of urology at Upstate Medical University. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Dr. Broslowski, let's begin by helping us understand what we mean when we say kidney cancer.
Kidney cancer is traditionally known as a mixed group of tumors that is grown or that grows on the kidney. And just because it happens to occur on the kidney, these cancers may be very different in their sizes, their behavior, and their prognosis. So when I say mixed group of tumors, I refer to, indeed, these tumors that are referred to kidney tumors or kidney cancers, but they are all quite different.
So they're called kidney cancer because they occur on the kidney, but it could be different cell types. Some are more aggressive.
That is exactly right. And some will respond better to one type of therapy versus others. Some will respond better to one type of immuno or chemotherapy or something that we know that we refer now as TKI or tyrosine kinase inhibitors, which is a totally new type of drugs, while others will not. And it's very important that we understand and provide the expertise in treating those kidney cancers, knowing what the offender is and what it's made of.
Do you know what causes it? I mean, is there any clue as to why someone might develop kidney cancer?
Yeah, so the traditional causes for kidney cancer include hereditary disorders or disorders that have been passed on from parents to children through a defective gene. And in fact, there are several genes that are known to cause kidney cancers. And for those patients, we carefully monitor.
It does run in families.
Does run in families. There are some cancers where there are some kidney cancers where it does not run in families, and there are certain risk factors, smoking being the greatest risk factor. Of course, patients that are also at the high risk of developing kidney cancer are those that are overweight or obese, those that have high blood pressure or have been taking high blood pressure medications for a long time. So, but those are what is known as associations, meaning that if we do find kidney cancers, we often find that these patients are bigger and fatter and also have a high blood pressure.
So we don't necessarily see them as causal. You're saying that they basically co-occur.
They co-occur, but yet we do certainly know that if somebody smokes, it is so much more likely to co-occur.
How about things like age?
So it is true that we do find the kidney cancers in older population much more commonly than we find in younger people. Although we cannot truly say that age is a risk factor, once again, just because we find it in the older people, but we do have more opportunity for kidney cancers to develop in the older person with all the risk factors, the longer you live, like with most other type of cancers.
Dr. Dougherty, what are some of the symptoms? I mean, how would someone know that they had kidney cancer?
If there are a fair amount of, there's various symptoms that can show up for someone that might have kidney cancer. One being blood in your urine. This could be blood that you can't see. It could be the urine could be red in color, could be pink, could be cola colored. You can have back pain on just one side that tends to be below the ribs and does not go away.
So it's persistent back pain.
Yes, it's not like the normal back pain you wake up in the morning with. It's just constantly there. It doesn't really get any better. You can have intermittent fevers, weight loss, fatigue, and oftentimes tumors are identified not intentionally. It was when they had a CT scan or some other imaging done for another reason, they find a questionable area on the kidney.
So that's kind of worrisome, I would think, to our listeners in the sense that it's almost like a silent cancer and you might just find it inadvertently. Is that the case?
That is true. Unfortunately, when patients present with symptoms, the disease may be much more advanced. And that is why, as urologists and personally as a urologic oncologist, I remain diligent with the working up of these kidney tumors in patients that have episode of hematuria or blood in the urine. Whether or not patients even see it or they don't, known as microscopically, they are identified to have blood in the urine, this is extremely important for us to complete the workup for this.
So getting to that, in terms of diagnosis, how do you make that diagnosis? And is it important to be screening people?
For if there's a questionable possible lesion on the kidney, some area that is of concern, the way that they normally work it up is a CT with a renal mass protocol. So it's a CAT scan that has different phases that has been shown to be able to evaluate possible kidney tumors better. There's two phases. One is without any contrast, so it's a baseline CT scan. And then following, they give you IV contrast to see how the kidney lights up and how the possible tumor lights up. And depending on how well it enhances or how bright it gets is a way that they can essentially say this is most likely a tumor or not.
And they might then be called upon to do something further, perhaps take a tissue sample, a biopsy of some kind to determine?
Right. It depends on either where it's located, how it's looking, the patient's overall health, if they'd be able to undergo a surgery, if they want to get a tissue diagnosis first.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Michael Dougherty and Dr. Gennady Bratslawski, and we're talking about kidney cancer. So just let me get this straight. The important thing here to remember is that if you have blood in your urine, even on a routine screening at your primary care doctor's office, that's a sign that needs to be followed up on.
That is true. The recommendations from American Urologic Society is to have it worked up. And what I mean to have it worked up is often done in a urologist's office. And here at Upstate, we see hundreds and thousands of patients with blood in the urine. And while in many, presence of blood in the urine turns to be completely benign, meaning not having a cancer, I certainly do not wish listeners to be fearful if they are told that they are found to have blood in the urine. But I do not want anyone to ignore a possibility that there may be some other causes other than benign causes for this blood in the urine, and therefore we recommend that these patients are seen by us.
I want to talk about treatments, though. It seems to me that obviously surgery is going to be a major treatment for dealing with it, but are there other medically less interventions that you can do, less imposing interventions? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so indeed there are some less aggressive treatments other than the classic surgery that could be done. First of all, we at Upstate perform most of our kidney surgeries using laparoscopy or robotic assistance. So first of all, we are able to avoid major incisions.
So it's minimally invasive.
It is minimally invasive, laparoscopic, and using robotic assistance as well. Now, other treatments that we have is cryoablation and radiofrequency ablation. And what I mean by ablation is destructing or destroying of this tumor while the patient does not undergo pretty much any incision, and it is done by conjoint work with us and interventional radiologists who are able to place special probes straight into the heart of this tumor and either hit it to a degree where the tumor can no longer survive or freeze it to a point that, once again, the tumor is no longer viable. So we do have several non-invasive or less invasive treatment modalities. And, of course, active surveillance is also an important option for these patients because not everyone with a kidney tumor, even if we suspect it to be kidney cancer, must undergo or should absolutely be treated. Many of these tumors may be what is called as indolent or slow-growing or something that will not necessarily cause any harm to an individual's life. And we frequently practice it, especially in older patients or patients with many medical conditions or what we call them comorbidities, such as diabetes, heart problems, those on blood thinners. We do not necessarily need to be treating every patient. As I often say, the role of a surgeon is to find a reason not to operate rather than subject somebody to an unnecessary intervention.
Wow. Well, let's get to the surgery, though. So, because I think traditionally, obviously, when a tumor has been found, there is the move to try to remove that tumor in some way. And it's my understanding that at one time, the kind of standard operating procedure was what they called a radical nephrectomy, which is taking that entire kidney away. And since we have two, you can survive comfortably, it would seem, with just one kidney. But now there's been some movement toward what they call a partial nephrectomy, which is just removing the tumor itself. Tell us about that, Dr. Doherty. And you were just involved in some kind of a study taking a look at the efficacy of both of those procedures. Tell us about it.
That's right. So we just looked at, we analyzed patients from the SEER database. It's a nationally run database that's orchestrated by the National Cancer Institute. It covers approximately 28% of the entire country with all the tumors that are recorded. It has various regions throughout the country and different locations that input the data. We looked at young patients between the ages of 20 and 44 that underwent a surgery for a kidney tumor. They either could have had a radical nephrectomy or the partial nephrectomy where they cut out just the tumor itself. We looked at these younger patients because we wanted to see what effects the surgery itself would have on the patient and their long-term outcomes. So with the younger patients, they would assume to have less underlying diseases, less chance of having hypertension, heart disease.
Things that would confound your results, in other words, that would muddy the water of what your results were
right,
in terms of the surgeries themselves.
Right, things that would possibly cause them to have an earlier death than would be expected. So we looked at these younger patients that all had small localized tumors and we saw how they compared to each other in both overall and cancer-specific survival. We found that there was no difference in cancer-specific survival between the two groups, which means that from an oncologic outcome, from the tumor itself, there was no difference in the surgical removal got rid of the cancer in both ways equally. But in overall survival, so just how they did it in general, that those treated with a radical nephrectomy, where they took the entire kidney out, did worse at 10 years. Those that had the nephron sparing surgery, they kept as much of the kidney as they could, they did better in the long term. They had a decreased chance of other outcomes.
That's quite significant. And also, is the recuperation from one better than the other also?
Well, technically, now that we do so many surgeries using minimally invasive approach, the recuperation tend to be quite similar. So we're trying to not offer a much more morbid or much more difficult operation with many more complications. Yet it is truly known that removing part of the kidney is more challenging than removing the entire kidney. And we often counsel the patients that while they may accept some shorter term complications that are more likely to happen with the removal of the tumor only, we are trying to look for their longevity and long-term health risk.
And so this type of finding really supports just what you're saying, that it's a preferred method if you can achieve it.
Correct. While the literature still provides enough controversy whether or not the partial removal of the kidney, removing the tumor only, is better than the total removal, most of the literature still continues to point with the kidney preservation, and this is something that we're quite experienced here at Upstate. We have several urologic oncologists to do it, and we have recently published this paper in Journal of Urologic Oncology.
So what's the prognosis?
I
don't want to run out of time.
The prognosis of the cancer, of the kidney cancer, depends on the stage. These tiny localized or small localized tumors can be successfully treated, and the most patients will enjoy survival of greater than 95% chance. So having been diagnosed with kidney cancer does not necessarily mean a lethal diagnosis. Of course, as the tumor grows, becomes more advanced, or grows into nearby structures, vessels, or organs, of course, this decreases the chance for the long-term survival. Yet we do have many trips here at Upstate, such as immunotherapy and such as additional therapies using vaccine. And part of the trial that we have here at Upstate is one of the few sites in the world where we truly feel that we could potentially improve the survival of these patients.
So basically, it's a sunny outlook, it sounds like, overall, for all the different options that exist for people with kidney cancer.
I completely agree. And it's very important that patients with kidney tumors are managed in a setting where they can be provided what is called a multidisciplinary approach, where they have radiologists, pathologists, medical oncologists, all unified, and where presence of a tumor board, for example, something that exists at Upstate, could allow them to truly get several expert opinions in one room prior to initiating the final treatment plan.
Well, it sounds very hopeful. I want to thank you both for coming in. My guests have been Dr. Michael Doherty. He's a urology resident at Upstate Medical University, and Dr. Gennady Broslawski. He's professor and chair of urology at Upstate Medical University. Thanks again so much. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.